You're listening to the Dharma and Greg Initiative.
Okay, do-kay.
Welcome back.
Hi, hello.
How are you?
Hey, castaways. Welcome back to the Dharma and Greg Initiative. I'm Nathan.
And I'm Greg.
I'm the Dharma part.
I'd be the Greg part.
Naturally.
Naturally. Camera.
Microphone. And microwave. Is that the trifecta of words said wrongly?
Wrongly. I love it.
That has to be how it's said.
The great reveal of the Mickey York thing at the end is just amazing. Mickey Rourke, sorry.
Yes. We're talking about 30 Rock, by the way. Yeah. This has transitioned to a 30 Rock podcast. It always kind of will be in spirit.
I've been watching the Christmas episodes.
Mm-hmm.
They took away Christmas Attack Zone.
I don't know why.
It was probably one of the episodes where they decided something was too offensive.
I know what it is.
What is it?
It's because Jenna and Paul, at the end, do Black Swan, where she's in blackface as a man, and he is Natalie Portman in Black Swan. Two Black Swans, because she's a black football player named, whose last name is Swan.
Right.
So they take that off because of,
you know,
they took two off because Jenna in blackface.
Yeah, I know.
She does it a lot.
Well, let's talk about how that is not the worst thing that happens on that show.
No.
That show's a problematic fave.
Yes.
There's brownface in like episode 2.
Yes.
That is never addressed. It's just played for laughs.
Yes.
There's tons of transphobia.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely say the F word, and we don't mean fuck.
Yes.
yeah. Yeah, that show is what it is.
It isn't right, and that's why we like it.
If you're not gonna get rid of all that shit, don't play favorites with what you're offended by.
I feel the same way about the Dungeons and Dragons episode of Community. They took off Netflix because Ken Jeong is in literal like the pigment black face because he's a dark elf.
Yeah.
He's a fantasy character. But he's got like elf ears and white hair, and they even make a joke of like, "Is this blackface?" And they're like, "No, it's."
They took off a Golden Girls episode, where the girls aren't really in blackface; they're just doing mud beauty treatments.
Oh wow, that's reaching,
right?
That's reaching,
and I cannot tell you the outcry from queer people of color who were just like, "Don't you fucking come for my girls?"
Uh-huh.
They would never do blackface. Put the episode back, and they put it back.
Yeah,
that's.
Whoever's taking these episodes off.
All we asked for was the police to stop murdering black people.
Uh-huh.
That was it.
I know.
And then we got all that shit. Like, okay.
Oh, no, you can't watch this one episode
and
of
the
show.
And then they redid the Wonder Years. Yeah. Racism is over. They redid the Wonder Years.
Exactly. The same spirit of that joke when Tina Fey and Amy Poehler hosted the Golden Globes one year when Selma came out.
Right.
And they're like, and then the beautiful movie Selma came out, and then racism is over, and now everything's better. Just because the movie exists.
Oh, that's great.
Well,
when Toni Morrison was at the inauguration of Barack Obama, somebody saw her, and they tell the story about Toni. Saw Toni Morrison and said, "Hey, isn't this a great day? This is amazing." And Toni Morrison said, "This day doesn't mean anything."
Mm-hmm.
God.
Well, shit.
She is missed.
Yeah, I agree. Well, what you been up to?
I threw a Christmas party.
How'd that go?
It was great.
Sorry I couldn't make it.
It was okay. You have family stuff.
I did have family stuff.
Yeah.
But was it fun? Did you have a good time?
Oh, we had a great time. Yeah.
Any anonymous debauchery you can... Lesson on.
You know, my party is not really a debauchery party.
Uh-huh.
My party is more of a, I'm going to get all of my weird eclectic friends together, throw in some alcohol and some marijuana and see what happens.
And?
Oh, it always goes well.
Good time?
That's what Joan Crawford said you only need for a party. Interesting people and alcohol.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
I spent the weekend with a lot of extended family that I had not seen in ages. And because we had marijuana and alcohol, we had a great time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great time catching up.
Marijuana is the great equalizer when it comes to family.
I agree.
Yeah.
And turns out that whole side of the family, no stigma about it either. They were just like, oh, they're outside getting high. It's okay.
It's okay.
I don't do it. I can't. And lots of that. It's very sweet.
That's really good, though. That's, yeah. That's a very progressive attitude.
Yes. Besides that, I have a work Christmas party coming up.
Fun.
Like, in 2 days, and I am not ready for that.
We haven't even talked about Secret Santa or the party or anything. It's been kind of crazy. We're just swamped busy.
Luckily, we don't do gifts.
Yeah.
At our job.
Yeah.
Because, I wouldn't do it.
We get people to write down three things they want.
That's wild.
Yeah.
It should just be like a, I thought you might like this thing. And it was under $20.
That, just make it a white elephant party at that point.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do that. That's what we're doing. With not at work, but with family. We're doing Christmas a week early. Because we couldn't coordinate it correctly.
Everybody's schedules, etc.
It was all jacked up. So we're doing Christmas a week early. We're doing it this Sunday. What? I'm not ready. I haven't bought a single thing.
Wow.
Mm-mm. I'll figure it out.
We're in two completely different modes.
Yes.
Yeah, no, every room of my house is decorated.
Mm-mm. I don't own Christmas decorations.
Let's see.
Not really. I had a moose head once that had,
I have six trees.
Fake bulbs in its antlers.
Yeah.
But I threw it away because I was like, it's dusty, but it's also furry. How do you do that? I'm good.
That does happen.
Go away. That's about it. Yeah.
Nope. You walk into my house, it's a winter wonderland.
Do you enjoy that?
I love it.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
I'm one
of those geeks that loves Christmas.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not. It stresses me out.
Ugh.
It's a lot of stuff.
There is a lot of
expectations. Great expectations when it comes to Christmas. And I try not to do those for myself because I don't want to be disappointed.
The way I do Christmas is a trauma response, actually.
Well, mine might be as well.
My family did not really do well with Christmas for many, many, many years. Not did celebrate it well. There was no holiday spirit, you know, any of that stuff. It just felt like, oh, we're getting together with family and eating, yada, 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 so on. So, as I got older, I was with somebody whose family really, really enjoyed Christmas. And I just decided that, you know what, fuck it. I'm gonna enjoy Christmas and I'm gonna do it the way I want to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna make it good for me every year, no matter what.
Nice.
Yeah.
I just try to put that energy towards Halloween.
Ooh,
because that's my thing.
Yeah,
that's my jam. I feel the spirit of Halloween when Halloween comes around. With Christmas, it's more like, oh no, Christmas is coming. Thanksgiving's over. It's happening. It's the battlefield. I just don't think I'm a good gift giver.
Aww.
I don't think I am. It could be untrue. It could be true. I don't know.
Yeah,
I've never asked for feedback because. That's weird. And I'm not that kind of weird.
Okay. I understand.
I mean, I would never.
Yeah.
I would never.
Gift giving with my friend group is kind of a competition.
Never has been with my
not in an actual no one's ever been disappointed way, but
right.
Just in a, hey, I tried my hardest to find something that you would like and it's in a creative way sort of thing.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That is nice. I don't know. This year I suggested a theme for our Dirty Santa thing.
Ludicrous Christmas.
For our ludicrous Christmas present swap. But it's because it's with kids.
Yeah.
I was like, let's make everything, because all the parents are buying it, obviously.
Right.
Let's make everything an art project.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of situation.
Yeah.
Like a kit of some kind. That way no one is left out of getting a good gift.
Sure.
You all got kind of the same thing. You can all go do it now together.
Yeah.
Go do that. Please go outside and do this kit now so we can hang out inside.
you hope they like them.
Be somewhere else or vice versa. Yeah.
Right.
They will like them. Kids love that shit. I still love it. When I walk through Michael's to get this and that, I always stop at that aisle and I'm like, oh my God, I could make my own lava at home. That would be fun.
Yeah, right?
I do need a friendship bracelet kit. You're right. Look at that. I mean, you listeners, you can't see, but I have one on.
Yeah,
have a
it's cute.
Random kit that I threw together, mm-hmm. and I love it. Makes me feel like a little girl.
Aww, you're just a weird little girl, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
All right, well, what have you been watching?
A lot of Christmas content.
Uh-huh.
I watched Single All the Way, which had three like C-list actors that I love.
C?
You know, in like the outside world, not in the queer world.
But I hope you're not saying Jennifer Coolidge is a C-list actress, because she is Grammy nominated.
She is.
Not Grammy. She's like People's Choice Award nominated at least a few times in TV. She's B.
Okay.
She's a B-list actress.
Okay, I'll give you that.
She's a B-list actress.
Yeah. And
if anything.
Kathy and Jimmy and
uh-huh.
Barry Bostwick.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. C.
Yeah.
Too bad, though. I think about Kathy and Jimmy a lot. Because I think about Peggy Hill a lot.
She's in so many of my favorite things.
Yeah.
And I just hate that she's not as famous, you know?
That's how I feel with Kirsten Dunst. Mm-hmm. Where's her fucking, where are her awards?
Where's Amy Adams' Oscar?
Do not get me started.
Holy
shit. We don't
have
time. We don't have time for that. Oh my God.
Oh my God. All right. What else have I been watching? Christmas episodes.
Of things. Uh-huh.
I watched a mediocre network holiday special, Michael Bublé's Christmas in the City. It was okay. Felt like Christmas.
You enjoy him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like, it was a good time.
I love his 30 Rock song, Mr. Templeton.
Yes.
So good. I listen to that soundtrack a lot. That's the most Christmas music I listen to, honestly.
The 30 Rock soundtrack?
That and the She and Him Christmas album.
Oh,
so good.
Shit, going back for that one.
Girl, I love She and Him.
Oh, yeah, it's so good. It felt so hipstery to love them, and now I'm like, who fucking cares?
I never cared.
Yeah.
Because I was like, it's Zooey Deschanel, how dare you? Say that to her
face.
She's
an elf. I've watched Elf.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I watched Christmas Vacation.
I think that was the big boom of Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Oh,
that was the resurgence of it. Because everyone knew that was the song.
Yeah.
It wasn't exactly a Christmas song.
Right.
I don't know. It didn't feel like one until that movie.
I
then it's all of a sudden, oh, this is a song. Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey are doing it for their Christmas album that I do have.
Ooh.
Shout out to Ali Chasson, grade 7, for buying it for me. Thank you so much, girl.
We hope you're listening.
She might. She really might be. Hey, what's up, girl?
If you are, tell us.
Leave us a review, Timmy.
My catch-up is, I watched Mixed Nuts for the first time. That was great.
It is good.
It was dark. I loved it.
Yeah, it's funny, though. Mm-hmm. Madeline Kahn.
Anything.
Madeline Kahn. I watched that, I think last Christmas we watched. No, it was the Christmas before. The Christmas before COVID.
Yeah.
Michael and I and both of our moms rent Airbnb'd in New Orleans.
Ooh, nice.
And I woke up and watched Mixed Nuts alone, because it's like, I need to watch something. Like, I don't want to watch A Christmas Story. I don't want to watch The Grinch.
Right.
Whatever. I want to watch something new and fun. And it was adorable. And then some lady took our picture later that night, and she took her cigarette out of her mouth, put it on the sidewalk, took our picture with my phone, and then put her cigarette that was on the sidewalk back in her mouth. COVID a week later.
God damn it, that's where
she was patient zero.
God.
Had to have been. It was wild. I know she's dead.
Yuck.
I know she's dead. Because when she died, I got a little bit stronger that day.
when a supreme starts to die.
Exactly. What have I been watching?
Yes, honey.
Hawkeye is happening right now.
Right.
Obviously, he's not a huge, hugely popular character of the MCU. But this current little TV show, Disney Plus show, is based off of a very tight 22-issue comic run.
Okay.
And it's super, super fucking good. And for what's happened in the movies and what was written, like, 12 years ago when the comic book came out,
sure.
They're doing a great job of adapting both.
Okay.
There's great synergy, I hate to say, between it. Like, there really is, though. It's like, whatever they couldn't do because of the movies, it makes sense. It all still makes sense. It's very, very good. And Hayley Steinfeld, who is the Queen of Pop, is great in this show.
Ooh.
She's Kate Bishop. She's the new Hawkeye.
Okay.
She will eventually, in the comic book, she takes on the moniker of Hawkeye.
Yeah.
And there are just two. Because she doesn't need to be Hawk Girl. She's as good, if not better.
Amen.
Than him. She actually might be a better archer than him. It's whatever. It's a good show. I feel like people are saying it's not like consequential, and some of these shows haven't like built up to anything, but WandaVision definitely built up to Spider-Man that's about to happen, and Doctor Strange is happening soon after that.
I'm
very invested, and I read all these stories.
When I watch anything Marvel, I'm not invested at all in how it fits into the larger story, honestly. I could give two shits. I just want a good story.
Yeah, me too.
So, like, yeah.
But I also don't want to, I hate a standalone superhero movie. Because what a waste.
Yeah.
I need it to give me hints, or at least build up to, like, yes, this conflict is done for this movie. Great job. But the B plot continues.
Yeah.
I need that.
Speaking of, do we have any idea what universe the DC movies are in /
DC?
Yeah.
Hell no. They don't know.
They don't know.
All their movies are taking places in separate places, but then sometimes they're connected. But it's not the same, but it is. There are too many cooks in the kitchen at DC.
No,
it
shit.
Seems. I just found out that the whole MCU takes place in one hallway in one building.
Oh, what?
Yeah, it's all like all the creative parts of it are like it's one place. It's like maybe 100 people that are outlining these things and plotting out all these things.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's which great?
Group. Yeah.
Great. That's what you need.
I agree.
That is, I mean, Lost had less. And it's a big story that went on for
6 years.
6 years, but if you think of an episode, an hour an episode, almost 22 episodes right. A season, it's a lot longer than we have in the MCU right now.
That's true.
So crazy.
Holy shit. Anyway, Hawkeye is good. I recommend it. If you like a quiet one. It's not end of the world. None of that. It's just, here are some conflicts that take place in this block. And there's a new character. Yay. Yeah, they're setting up the Young Avengers. That's going to happen.
That sounds
They're setting all that up.
That's my speed.
It's fun. Pen 15.
God, why have I not watched that show?
I don't know. But I have to endorse it right now because it is the last season.
Yeah.
The last chunk of season 2 just came out. They always just wanted it to be set in 7th grade, and they've run out of the stories they needed to tell.
Yeah.
So they're wrapping it up. And also, COVID was not helpful with the season.
Of course.
Both of the main actresses got pregnant during COVID, so that didn't help. But I'm in the middle of the last chunk of season 2, which is the last chunk of the entire series, and it's beautiful. You laugh and cry every episode. It's super, super real. You don't have to have ever been a 13-year-old girl to, like, get it.
Right.
And there are queer characters.
Aww.
And, you know, besides those two, the children are played by children, and there are, like, a few queer children, kind of.
Oh, good.
And it's believable. It doesn't feel forced or gross or hokey.
Right.
It's like, oh, wow, these kids get it. They get the material. I just have two more things. More things to catch up on.
Okay.
And just like that, the Sex and the City soft reboot, new chapters edition.
Right.
Mortal Kombat. Oh, my God. It was really hard to get through. I still watched the first two episodes because they put them out together. And the end of the first episode, there's a huge, huge twist and awful situation. And it is well done. I will say that.
Okay.
I don't want to spoil anything because I don't know if anyone's had a chance to watch it yet. And I will say that I liked what happened at the end of episode 1. I thought it was a good change of pace. And it was good to see Sarah Jessica Parker act her ass off again, because I haven't seen that in a long time. It was good to see her do that. she did that finally for a minute. It's been, she's been so quiet and whatever. I think every other element of it is awful and hard to watch. I think Miranda has been flanderized at this point to, ooh, I don't want to be a white savior, but I read about race theory online and now I have to help every black person I see struggling in anything. But it's done in a cringy way, like on purpose, but it's still not good.
God. Well, that's just unhelpful and gross.
I don't love it. Carrie somehow reverted to being like not, she's being like, she's like shy to talk about sex and stuff. And it's like, girl, that's your whole identity. Jeez. And the explanation for Samantha being gone was pretty weak. Mm-hmm. I did not enjoy it. But then I watched the second episode and it was a little bit better. And I think it might be something, but not a good start. Not a good start. I don't think we needed it.
Who did?
I gave it a 2 out of 5.
They're bringing back everything and not all of it is good.
No, you're right. They're trying to redo or bring back 6 Feet Under and people are pissed. And I get it. Don't do that. It's sacred ground. Hollow ground, literally hollow ground. The last thing that I want to talk about was Hustlers, because I just finally watched it. Okay. It's on Hulu. Oh my god, so good!
Tell me about Hustlers.
Do you know what movie I'm talking about?
No.
It has Jennifer Lopez.
Okay.
Oh my god, I'm blanking on the other main actress. Wu. It's Constance Wu.
Okay.
Lizzo is in it. Cardi B. The blonde girl from Riverdale, Kiki Palmer, they're all strippers.
Ooh.
And then the recession, like the housing bubble happens.
Shit.
And they start drugging and robbing all of these Wall Street dudes to support their lives because the clubs are dead.
Right, right.
It's fabulous. But it's done like an I, Tonya-esque back and forth conversation. You know what I mean?
That's a movie I haven't seen.
I, Tonya's fucking good.
Okay.
Holy shit. Watch it just for Allison Janney.
Okay, honestly. I will watch anything she is in.
She, chain-smoking with big grandma turtle glasses and a bob, smoking indoors being like, you want to eat my ass, Diane? Oh my god.
Listen.
Real line of dialogue.
Oh my god.
You want to eat my ass, Diane?
Oh
holy
my
shit.
God.
So good. And Margot Robbie's great as Tonya. Sebastian Stan, always fuckable. It's good.
Always.
It's good. And they're both on Hulu.
Allison Janney was in The West Wing.
I know she was. I know she was, Greg. I've seen clips. I've been trying to get more involved into it. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. Well, that's the last thing I had to talk about. Let's take a quick little commercial break, and we will jump into Lost finally, maybe?
Hey!
We got 3 episodes to blow through, but they're good ones.
They were. I enjoyed these.
I really, I gave these high ratings when I remembered to rate them.
High marks.
No demerits. Maybe a few. They have to do with one character. You know who. All right, we'll be right back after these special messages. Hello, welcome back.
Welcome back, Castaways.
We just took a quick little break, got new drinks, and I think we're ready to talk about Lost. We just got amped up about some Muppet talk, but that's private. We can't tell you about it.
That's on them.
It's very secret.
Yeah.
Very secret. Okay, so we start tonight with season 1, episode 17.
Lost in Translation.
Dot, 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 in translation. Because the show's lost.
Right.
So clever, clever. Ding. Do you think it's a great title for an episode about Jen? Because this is an episode about Jen.
Yes, I do.
Absolutely. There are so many really good moments about language barriers in this episode. I really like this episode. Okay, so let's do the flashbacks first.
Right.
I think it's quick.
Okay.
And it kind of sets the mood for the rest of everything.
Okay, yes.
So basically we, pre-flashback, it just opens on Jen on the beach. And I had to mention this because I wrote, we open with Jen remembering a memory. Why did I write that?
I don't know why you did.
It was so early in the night.
Were you trying to be Rod Serling?
I think I had just hit a bowl. I was like, this is so beautiful. Wow. I'm a really good writer. But the flashback is Jen is trying to get Sun's dad's approval
to marry her.
Yes. And he pretty much is like, I'll do anything to be with your daughter.
I've seen this video.
What? Oh. Sorry. I didn't think about that. I had to think about that for a second. Anyway, it kind of works.
A little bit.
From where it like drops off. Like, yeah. He's just like, I'll do anything for her. And then it, you know, back to the beach. Anyway, okay. Next, we cut to Jen and Son's wedding. It's like after the wedding.
Right.
During the reception, she's changing. He sneaks in to come see her. She looks gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
And that like purple iridescent dress thing she's wearing. Yes. It's so pretty. She looks so pretty. They seem happy. I'm happy for both of them. And then we get another skip to Jen and Son's dad, Mr. Pike?
Right.
It's Pike. I'm pretty sure it's Pike.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
I didn't go to school for linguistics. Mr. Pike is telling Jen, like, I need you to go deliver a message for me.
Yeah.
To prove, like, your loyalty and to prove, you know, you belong to the family, yada, yada, yada. That whole, would you say, Goodfellas?
Okay, so I was debating, I was like, okay, so it's very gangster.
Yes.
Right.
Very, well, gang.
Yeah.
Very gang. I feel gangster implies Italian. And
it doesn't.
Mafia. In today's media, it does.
Okay, fine.
When I hear gangster, I think the mafia.
Okay. So I was like, originally, I was like, oh, Lost goes Godfathers. But I was like, no, this is not a Godfather vibe. This is definitely a Goodfellas vibe.
Yes, because yeah. Jen opted into this life.
Yeah.
He chose it.
It was very scary.
I'm glad they didn't include like a record cut of like, I've always wanted to be a gangster ever since I was little. Whatever. However, yeah. Goodfellas starts. I don't care. I also, you know, I told you I do not like Christmas movies. I also hate gangster movies.
Oh, they're so much fun.
They're all the same, though. Oh, my God. I cannot get into it right now. I will upset too many people, and Michael will hear about it, and he'll get mad because he loves them.
I have a real soft spot for the Godfather movies. Really do.
Okay.
Yep.
Great. Mm-hmm. I hear they're amazing.
They are.
I will one day sit down and get through them.
You and me, baby.
We'll do that together. Hold my hand, please. Sorry, I had to get back to my notes about the flashbacks.
Right.
He has to deliver a message to this man.
Yeah.
Jen takes it literally and literally
Go
just
tell
says,
this dude, hey.
Hey, we're disappointed in your business. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to do something. He was supposed to open up a factory.
Right.
Sunset sends Jen to go say, hey, we're disappointed. And Jen does not pick up that it's like a violence thing. So he literally says, hey, we're disappointed. And the guy gives him his daughter's dog.
I know.
Which is so sad, but what a sweet, fluffy baby. And did you notice Hurley on the TV? In the background.
No.
The girl was watching TV and Hurley was in the background.
Oh.
And it was from his lottery winnings.
Okay, yeah. I figured it would be.
Now that, because it's part of this jumble of episodes we're going to discuss, I can say it.
That's pretty
but, great little Easter egg. Because everyone was like, where the fuck's Hurley's? Who is this guy? Is he real?
Ooh.
People speculated that he wasn't part of the plane crash for a minute.
Oh, really?
Because he didn't have a flashback. And some people had two. He had none.
Yeah.
But he was around all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought so too for a minute when I first started watching it. Anyway, back to our next flashback. Our sweet couple tries to enjoy a meal, but men be working.
Oh my God.
You know how women be shopping? Men be working. Jen was supposed to beat the guy up or kill him or something. I don't know. I'm very young and therefore very naive, and I look like Neve Campbell, and I want that on record. Jen beats the guy's ass right in front of his salad. Sorry. Right in front of his daughter.
The guy who was sitting there to kill him just watches.
Thank God.
Yeah.
I'm glad Jen stepped in.
It was a good move on his part.
It's backbone enough.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in a sticky situation. Yeah. You know, like, I understand he doesn't really, there is no right choice for him anymore.
He didn't know he sold his soul.
He is. Oh my God. I just thought about that Simpsons episode where Bart sells his soul. Have you ever seen that?
No, I haven't.
You would love it. It is actually a great religious episode of The Simpsons. Okay. It's beautiful. Beautifully done. Okay, back to Lost. I'm so sorry. So, he doesn't kill him. He just beats his ass. And then the flashbacks line up to Sun's first episode where he storms in and washes his hands and he's covered in blood.
Yeah.
That was so well done.
Oh.
Mm. Oh my God. Beautifully done.
Just kiss.
Holy shit. I love that. And then we... hold on. Lost the page. Next flashback is Jen meets up with Sun's dad and he... Or no. Oh no, that's right. I'm so sorry. Jen meets up with his dad.
Yeah.
That he said he had told Sun's dad he was dead because he was ashamed of him because he's just a fisherman. And Jen's just a fisherman's son. It's so sad though.
Ooh.
I know.
He's always been shit.
I think every character has a dark past.
Yeah.
Every character has problems.
Mm-hmm.
They're all kind of shit if you want to look at it just they like are. That. But that is a shitty thing to do. But he is ashamed of what he did.
True.
So he goes back to see his dad. He even explains.
I have to give him props for that.
He explains, I was ashamed.
Yeah.
And I'm so sorry. And his dad forgives him. And they have a great time together.
They do.
And it's very, very sweet. I just... Yeah, it's shitty. It was shitty what he did. But
he tried to make up for it.
He tried to make up for it. They have a great time. They spend the day together. The music. Oh, the music in the scene of him and his dad catching up on the boat is absolutely
gorgeous.
Stunning. It swells to make you think something dramatic is going to happen in a beautiful way. It's heavy violin, like, to where you think, like, oh God, this is going to have a boom.
Right.
Never does. It's just beauty. It's just sweet tenderness.
You'll get a lot of that on the show.
No, you don't. It's just a beautiful moment between a father and a son that have been estranged by choice. It feels, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, it's dramatic, but it's beautiful, and I love it. And I think those are the last of the flashbacks. That's kind of his, like, redemption for him.
Yes.
I apologize to my dad.
Yep.
Do you have any notes about the flashbacks?
No, I got them. I got them all in.
You did?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about...
Main plot.
Island time.
We live in an island.
Aren't we?
Time means nothing at this time of year.
Not really. It gets dark at, like, whenever it wants. Okay, so after Jen's little flashback in the beginning of the episode, we see Sun in a swimsuit. She had to have gotten from Shannon. She had to have gotten that swimsuit from Shannon, though, right? Well, remember, butts weren't big until recently. People didn't want a butt until a couple years ago. Do you remember that?
That's so stupid.
Flat ass was everything.
What was wrong with us?
Rich European people who run fashion magazines told us that we don't have a butt, so you can't either.
Ew.
And then J-Lo happened, and we were all like, oh, no, we want one now. Oh, no. Oh. And then Kim K. And
so you credit
J-Lo? Oh, my God. I would like to.
Yeah.
But I just remembered a tweet that I have to bring up. Because I just said Kim K. Someone was like, plastic surgery is so amazing. You can make anyone look like Kim Kardashian, except for Khloe Kardashian. But like,
girl.
Okay. Sad. Anyway,
everything I know about them, I've learned against my will.
Exactly.
I was at my best friend's birthday party, and somebody brought up Pete Davidson because, you know, he's hot shit all the time now.
Apparently.
And they were like, "Yeah, but he is hot," which he is. And then someone was like, you know, he's probably going to make more money off of the Kardashians than he had on SNL. And I was like, I don't want to know that.
Yeah.
I don't need to hear about that.
I don't care. I don't even know that he should be on SNL most of the time. Every once in a while, he pulls out something good. And every once in a while, I'm like, why are you on this show?
How dare you?
I very dare. Ugh. Very dare. We have to talk about Lost, Greg. Fine. We have to. Okay. So, Sun is in a swimsuit. You said she has no ass. That's okay. Jen freaks out because she's showing too much skin. They're fighting couple to couple, and then Michael tries to break it up, and she slaps him.
Total drama island.
Because he gets into the... Total drama island, for sure. He gets in the middle, and she's like, none of your business. And then we get our Lost card.
No.
I love it. I love it so much. Later, Sun goes to apologize to Michael because she's just like, you don't know what Jen's capable of. I don't want you guys to be fighting because you're scared of him.
Dangerous.
You should be scared of him. But yeah, that's kind of true though.
No, it's, yeah.
He's pretty scary.
Anything can happen on this island we've seen.
We get a scene of Hurley trying to bond with Jen. And I love Hurley.
I do too.
It's very sweet. I'm excited to talk about his episode, so let's brush to get to that. In the same, like, scene, though, Saeed and Shannon are flirting, and I drew a throw-up emoji. Like, bleh.
I wrote, Saeed might be the first one on the island to canonically get some.
I don't remember, but I know sex happens. The show's 6 seasons, sex happens, but...
Yeah.
I don't remember who the first person is. Ooh, I hope you're right, though. I really do. I don't remember, honestly. Michael sold Sawyer a spot on the raft that he's been building.
Yeah,
Jack is a little bit jealous about that. Okay. Kate is being nosy with Sun. And while that's happening,
Kate is also a therapist.
She is a couple counselor. You know she is. She has a degree. I can't wait for that to pop up again. We'll get a flashback of her being like, and tell me how that makes you feel, Richard. So good. So fucking, it'll be so funny.
I'm sorry. We're not going to talk about Arrested Development.
Okay, we can't. There's just too much, Greg. Our brain, we both have the worst, most poisoned brains. Why are we doing, we need a moderator. We need an editor and a moderator that's like, hey, everyone, keep it back. Jesus Christ. Okay, we have 15 minutes. All right. To wrap up this one episode. What was I talking about?
Kate's being nosy. Therapist.
And while she's being a legit licensed therapist to Sun about her own relationship, someone sets the raft on fire. It looks like Jen did it. Because he has burns, and he was running away and wasn't accountable for.
You know, that fire is a good example of why taxes are important. No fire brigade.
No what?
No fire brigade. Fire brigade.
Fire brigade.
Oh,
okay. I made that into one and then three words. Trying to make it. I was
well,
like,
we were in the South.
Yeah, I was like, Brigade. No. Fire. Brigade. No, that's not a thing either. Oh, fire brigade. Rural juror. Got it.
I hate you.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Bring it back together. Bring it back together. Remember Kate? How good she looks in a turtleneck and a triangle bikini. And that's it.
Okay.
Okay. Ooh. Lost. Saeed wants to fuck Shannon.
Oh.
And he talks to Boone about it.
Shannon is useful for once.
She has good moments this episode. Whoa. I agree. I like the moment where John Locke pulls her aside and is like, if you like Saeed, what does your brother have anything to do with it?
Oh.
Because he doesn't know their past. No right. one else knows their past but us.
And Boone acts like a jealous ex-boyfriend.
Oh, he's gross.
Oh, my God.
He's absolutely gross. Stage 5 clinger is a what I believe straight people 12 years ago said.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember. I wasn't there. Again, very young, look at Neve Campbell. 20 years ago.
20 years ago.
That's what I look like right now. I did love John Locke's advice.
It was great.
Don't, you know, if you just pay attention to him, that's what he wants, is your attention. Yeah. Good for you. Oh, I said, yeah, John Locke coming in hot with the Dr. Drew advice to Shannon while he eats a frog.
While he eats a frog.
He was eating a frog, and that was good for fucking him. Gross, too. Sawyer captures Jin. Because everyone still thinks he fucking lit the raft on fire. That's boring to me. I'm sorry.
When Locke was screaming about how it couldn't be anybody, all I could think was, except you who have motivation to stay here.
Yeah. Say that louder.
Yeah. John Locke has motivation to stay on the island.
Exactly.
But they don't know that. Boone finds out.
We know it isn't Locke who did it.
Right.
It was Walt.
Walt, yeah.
Damn.
Which at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
With those two talking.
Mm-hmm.
And they were both.
That was a really sweet one.
It was really sweet. But. Well, John knew what Walt did. Which means yes. that the two people who are spiritually attuned.
He didn't stop it.
No.
Yeah.
The two people who are spiritually attuned to the island
have no intention to leave.
Yeah.
John Locke wants to get in that hatch more than anything. He wants answers and he wants to stay. He wants answers and shelter. Like permanent shelter. He wants a
Amen.
Forever home with people that are his people forever now.
Right.
He might get some blowback from that. Let's just say.
Okay.
There is a scene I wanted to bring up real quick about, I call it the Simlish English scene where.
Yes.
Jin is listening to everyone yell about him maybe burning it, but he didn't. But he doesn't understand any of them. And it's just really so well done. Everyone does such a good job of like making up almost English.
Right.
It's like The Sims. It's gorgeous. It's very, very, very well done. Sorry, my computer, I have to jiggle it every couple minutes.
Is this the episode where they find out she can speak English?
Yes. Jin, okay. Yeah, so Michael comes to fight Jin. Jin lets him hit him a few times because he's like, we don't know. Because they don't give Jin any subtitles
right.
for this. They do in the flashback, so not on the island yeah. this time. And it's perfect because we are as lost as he is. Mm. We don't know what he's saying. We're in his shoes now.
Yeah.
Beautifully done. I hate that. I mean, it's so obvious, a textbook, but it's like.
Oh, well.
Someone has to mention it.
Yeah.
I hate for that to be lost on you. So, Michael gets some hits in, and then Sun yells out in English. By the way, it's just the mains.
Right. Just
around. Mm-hmm. No background characters around for this entire thing. Crazy.
Where are they?
Not getting paid. They're not getting paid for this. Get out of here. Locke saves the day with basic logic, talking about us versus them, which right. is a good. That's the first seed of the second season.
Okay.
A lot of us versus them. That is a big part of the show going forward. It's beautifully done, though, because you would know. But you know, there's more seasons. If you were watching this live years ago.
Right.
We don't actually know there are more than Ethan.
Yeah.
We just assume.
Right.
But
we'll find out.
Come on. We'll get there. There is an absolutely gorgeous shot of Jin leaving Sun.
Mm-hmm.
That beach fucking Windows desktop scene.
Amazing. I was so proud of
that. I actually might like make that my work desktop right now, like when I get to work tomorrow. It's beautiful.
Mine's a glamour shot of Katharine Hepburn.
Mine is a screenshot from Steven Universe. Aww. It's the temple that they all live in. It's beautiful. It's all, it's sunset, so it's all like deep purples and reds.
Oh, beautiful.
People always ask me about it. I say, I drew it. I didn't. Anyway, Sun admits that she was going to leave Jin, but she does it in English, which is interesting. And he kind of picks it up because he's like, it must be, I'm thinking he's like, it must be serious. She's telling this to me in English. And he knows enough to have gotten along. They've been there for a month.
Oh, yeah.
At least a month now. Mm-hmm. And then he leaves her at the caves. Sighting. Chin kiss. It's gross and lame. I don't care about it. Walt and Locke hang.
Oh, yeah.
Locke says his dad is not cool.
Not cool. Not cool.
And we find out why later. He also asks why Walt burnt the raft, because he straight up knew. Walt doesn't want to move anymore. He likes it there. And Locke does, too. We just covered that, but I had to say it. And then Jin goes to Michael and says, boop.
Yep.
And I love that. So- I love that. He wants to help because he didn't do it.
Right.
And then we get another Hurley music video moment.
It's really cute.
Where he has his headphones on. And everyone gets their Big Little Lies moment. They're all like looking out in the distance at the sunset and a beautiful beachscape with like a flowy situation. Their hair or their decolletage. I don't know. Nice. Everyone has their Big Little Lies moment. It's so cute. And then his batteries die. And I thought my internet went out.
Me too. Because
it skipped. And I was like, wait, no. Oh. I'm so happy you thought that. I was like, what the fuck, man? Are you kidding me? Like,
oh.
I have two more to watch. Which reminds me, we have two more to talk about.
This was great.
So let's get another ad in. Yes. Woo, ads.
Thing.
The theme of tonight's episode is Ned, calm down, go on. Just go on and get, babe. Please, do that for me. He talks back now. He'll find a place. Alrighty, we are back with more Lost. We, two more episodes to get through. We're gonna start with season 1, episode 18, Numbers. Our first Hurley episode.
Woo-hoo!
Do you think the wait was worth it?
Yeah, it was the best episode of the show so far.
I think so as well. Yep. This is such a fucking good episode.
It's so much fun. Yeah, this show is not taking itself too seriously.
No, not in this one. Mm-mm. This is a fun one. His mom is camp.
Ah!
She's camp.
First scene, telling him he's a grown man at home on a Saturday. What's wrong with him?
Watching TV. Ugo.
Sophia Petrillo, was that you?
Yes, it was. The spirit of, even.
Mm-mm.
It's beautiful. It sets us up with who Hurley is immediately. He finds out he wins the lottery. Passes his ass out. Because it's too much. Just too much for him.
His mother says at one point that they're Catholic and they don't believe in curses. And I just wrote, brown Catholics who don't believe in curses. Unrealistic.
Lies and deceptions. Oh, if I learned anything from 30 Rock, it was from Jalisa Padilla. How dare you say this in front of Saint Lucia, the patron saint of judgmental statues or whatever she says.
Right.
I butchered that completely, but y'all get it.
You know what we're talking about.
Yeah, I was raised by Puerto Ricans, for real, in real life.
Nice.
And they're wildly suspicious. Very ghost friendly, if you will.
We know what you mean.
Curses all abound. Curses everywhere.
So, he wins the lottery, and bad shit starts happening.
Pretty much immediately.
Yeah, it's awful.
Like,
people dying.
Yeah, the next day he's being interviewed about winning, and his grandfather dies on air.
Yeah.
So sad. After that, he buys his mom a house.
It it sets on fire and she breaks her ankle trying to look at it.
Exactly. And then,
what were the other bad things?
He goes and sees his, like, financial person and somebody jumps off the building.
That's true.
And he got all his money because of, like, factories that went under that he had good insurance on.
My God.
That's bad.
It's just, yeah, hit after hit after hit. It's crazy he's so chill on the island. This might, like, actually be the best place he could be.
This is the least amount of
stress. The safest he's been.
Least amount of stress in a while.
I wonder if, do you think it's because, well, it can't just be people that are close to him, because these bad things happen to random people around him as well. So, I feel like when he got to the island, he must have thought, I can't talk to anybody or get to know anybody, because these things are going to happen.
That makes sense.
But he also probably thinks the plane crash happened because of him.
And the whole episode is about him searching for meaning.
Absolutely.
Yeah, what's his place in all this?
He finds the notes in Saeed's pile of stolen notes from Rousseau, the crazy French lady. She has on one piece of paper the numbers. The numbers. 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42, written over and over and over and over again, all over on a piece of paper. He steals that and basically sneaks off to go find her to get answers for that.
What a badass.
Because he used those numbers to win the lottery.
Yeah, and here they are.
And he heard the numbers from his stint in the psych ward.
I love how that was played, by the way. Just completely normal.
Yeah. There's never a mean hint of that.
Good.
It never plays it as a, well, Hurley's crazy, don't believe him.
Right.
Nothing that sticks out. Maybe. We'll see later, but, like, nothing that... They play Hurley being in a psych ward very cool. As cool as you can for that time. But when he was in there doing his time, he heard the numbers from a fellow patient?
Yeah, a fellow patient. Sorry. And he remembered the numbers and used them to win the lottery. And then all this shit started happening. He goes back and meets this Rambo.
They're cursed.
And he's like, oh my God, you used them to win the lottery? Which is the first coherent thing he said the entire episode.
Yes.
And he's like, you can't do that, you know. Finally gets the name of the person that he heard them with and tries to go track the guy down. And he's in Australia in the middle of nowhere.
But of course, and everyone gets led to Australia with their little mysteries.
And he's dead.
Yeah.
Man's dead. He's been dead for 4 years. And his widow.
One of the numbers. Yeah.
And his widow is telling all these stories, and she doesn't think the numbers are cursed. And I think she's crazy, because obviously they are. She's in denial.
Yeah, I wrote, I don't know, girl, look around. Look around.
And just on a completely superficial note, that woman had huge tits.
She did.
Like, whoa.
Wumbo. She had H's. Good for her.
Good for her.
I don't know what the Australian bra size. Good for her. She had like huge donkers and like mommy milkers and like. Good for her.
Good for her.
Love her.
She is
my favorite. So that's basically Hurley's back. That's how he ended up in Australia.
And on the island, he's in badass mode. He sets off on a journey.
Yes.
He's like, I'm going to do this. He finds the wire. He dodges the fucking...
The trap. And quite heftily, I should say.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, he does it.
Yeah.
It's actually impressive.
Yeah, it is.
I feel like other people have gotten hurt with dumber traps. And that was a Crash Bandicoot trap that he got through.
Amen.
Ow, Ned. Ow.
But he, yeah. And he's seemingly not having a bad time at all. And he's not worried about anything.
No, I think he knows nothing can happen to him because of the numbers. I feel like the numbers are a blessing and a curse for him, obviously.
Yeah.
Because he won the lottery with it. But, bad things happen, but... I think he's starting to realize there are forces Ooh, at work. Okay. This, I feel like the numbers energy that this episode brings to the show is the first hint of there are bigger things happening. I feel like that was pretty evident.
I agree.
Okay, good. I would hate to give anything away. But yeah, that's kind of what's going on. Trying to think about some other notable parts of this episode. I'm also being torn alive.
I really actually... Okay, can we talk about John Locke?
Yes.
Oh.
Tell me. He fashions together a crib for Claire.
He gets Claire to come help him.
It's so sweet.
And she doesn't know what they're making the whole time.
Which, okay, girl. It was just upside down.
I know.
Like, what did you...
Like, okay.
What did you think the island needed?
But it was sweet.
It was very sweet.
So sweet. I could... Oh,
I wrote C-L-A-A-H as Claire.
Claire.
It's really sweet that he built her a crib. And then, they have a cute little bonding moment.
Magnificent bastard.
Yeah.
And notably, Hurley finds Rousseau, bonds with her, talking about the numbers.
Hurley's lovable.
Gets himself not killed.
Universally lovable.
Gets her to admit that they're basically cursed, and that's all he really wanted.
Yeah.
So basically, he's been the diplomat for the group.
Yes.
And... now things are less icy between them and Rousseau.
She didn't even once think he was an other.
Yeah.
She said, oh, you're from the plane.
Yeah.
Oh. He's good. She's good.
She's good.
They're a good couple. They should work together more.
And he got that fucking battery.
And he got the battery.
And he said to Saeed, she says hi, by the way.
Yeah, that was very fucking cute.
Anyways, great episode.
I love
that. My favorite of the three, for sure.
I like that, And also because Charlie and Hugo have been... His name's Hugo, by the way. Hugo Reyes.
Okay.
I sometimes write Hugo on it because it's just easier.
Yeah.
But Hurley is Hugo.
Hugo.
Hurley and Charlie have been friends since the start, kind of. And I did like that moment with Charlie and Hugo being like, what's your deal? Why haven't you told me? I thought we were friends. No one here are friends. We're not friends, babe. I don't know you. No one knows each other.
I'm worth $156 million.
Oh, my God. But he is, though. And he owes Walt a lot. Like, 83?
Oh, yeah. And he's like, don't worry, dude. I've got it.
I got it. I told you. It's also Claire's birthday. That's why Locke was making that thing.
Yeah, that was so sweet.
That was really cute. Well, that's not why, but she mentions it when he's like, tell me about your baby. Blah, blah, blah.
It's a nice gesture on her birthday.
Charlie presses Hurley for info again. It leads to some Degrassi moments. Kind of manipulative, but Hurley is worth that much money. You said $156 million. Charlie doesn't believe him, walks away. And then we get a good zoom in on the hatch, which has the numbers
on
stamped
it. Yep.
To it. This hatch is very important. All
right, we'll get into the hatch next.
Yes, we will. We have time now. Episode 19 of season 1 is called Deus Ex Machina.
Translate that for us.
Ow! Sorry. This dog is digging his bone in my knee. You translate that for us.
The God Machine.
Is that what that means?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
It's also a plot device.
Yeah, I just knew the plot device. I just knew it was called that. Tons of episodes of shows are named this.
They are.
You didn't
think
care.
To trope it?
No. I can't look up everything.
Dear readers.
Help me.
Go to TV Tropes and look up Deus Ex Machina.
The God Machine?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that makes sense.
You'll love it. You'll love it.
I translated it as the plot device.
And it is used as a...
It's
right.
The plot device.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that means to me. I didn't really care what it meant in Latin. No one cares about Latin.
After hoc, therefore something else hoc.
Okay.
This is for the West Wing nuts out there.
This is a lock episode. Our second,
it
third?
It ends with my favorite third. Trope of all time.
Tell me.
Same character, same actor, decades ago, wig.
Wig. I know about that. Wig.
First of all, wig.
First of all, wig. I know about that. No, he does have a very convincing balding wig.
Oh my god.
I love that it's not a full
right.
wig. It is a... What would you call that? A ring? The
a
ringlet?
Fire.
Omega?
Omicron.
Omicron wig? Okay.
That new variant out there, all Star Trek fans. We're like, don't worry, we got this. We know how to say this one.
Well, we start with a flashback. Younger Locke, working in retail, doing his job, using his legs, baby. And a mysterious redheaded woman is in a fur coat, and she's being very weird. Later, she follows him to his car, and she says she's his mother.
His mother! We've heard Locke talk about his family before.
Yes. He does, do we find out in this episode that he was adopted?
He was never adopted.
Well, no, but he was, left? Abandoned?
Yeah.
Is that the correct term?
Exactly.
I don't know.
He was given up as a baby.
Hold on.
Speaking of babies.
That hurts.
Big.
He keeps rubbing his bone into my knee. And it's so loud.
Worst guest ever.
This is our worst guest we've ever had. And he's been on every episode so far. And we have not gotten rid of him yet. He won't leave the building, everyone. I don't know what to say.
If you'd like to be a guest.
If you'd like to donate to get rid of this dog for me. I'm just kidding. I love him so much. If you want to donate for a soundproof kennel to put him in, please find one for me.
It's on our Amazon wish list.
I will find one and put it on my Amazon wish list. I swear to God.
Okay.
Okay. Keep talking about John Locke.
So his mama comes along.
Uh-huh.
He was never adopted.
Yes.
She says he was immaculately conceived, and I was like, oh, she cuckoo bananas.
Yes.
Yeah. Hires a private investigator to find his parents.
Yeah, I wrote, okay, loon.
You loon. Okay.
Woo,
okay.
Woo.
Actually, when she said you were immaculately conceived, I said, oop. Mommy's been in the cooking cherry again.
Oh, no. Yes, she has. Oh, she has, though.
Oh, this woman.
Dinner's almost done. You started 9 hours ago, Mom.
So, he ends up going to meet his dad, which the PI says is a terrible idea. Is it a terrible idea, honey?
Yes.
Yeah.
This guy's name is Anthony Cooper.
Oh, that's the whitest, most, like, awful white guy name ever.
He's a huge piece of shit.
Oh.
What is the organ he needs from John Locke? Kidney?
Kidney. Did you know that when you get a kidney transplant?
He needs a kidney.
it's a 30 Rock podcast.
It's always a 30 Rock podcast.
Did you know that when they do kidney transplants, they don't take out the dead kidney? They just put another kidney in. You get a bonus kidney.
They just grafted
it? Not all the way.
To
no,
the other
no,
one?
Not grafted. Just here's another one.
What does it connect
easy
to?
Attach. They're really easy to attach.
What are they attached to?
They have like giant blood vessels they connect to, basically. It's just one big piece. It's not a big deal. No, like seriously.
We're all just prosciutto.
It's the easiest organ transplant.
We're all just
hands down. No, they. It, you get
a Play-Doh model of people.
So,
take this one out and add a new one. This one's green.
Whenever I hear that somebody needs a kidney, I always say the same thing. I'm just like, that bastard's gonna get three, and I'll have one.
I always just think of 30 Rock.
Right.
Just we're not asking for a hand. A hand would be an even harder thing to give. But you know, in an Elvis Costello voice. And And then Cyndi Lauper saying, I'm one of the drunk ones. Great. Great TV. Great TV. Also, Lost is great TV. We're talking about Locke. He gives the kidney.
Bad move, buddy.
To his,
daddy.
Daddy.
His Anthony daddy. Anthony
Cooper.
Leaves the hospital.
Before
how
he even wakes
up. How long has John Locke been asleep? They say that his dad's been gone 2 whole days.
Yeah.
How long was John Locke asleep?
2 days. Okay. Longer. At least 2.5 days.
Goddamn, dude.
My God. Yeah. Wild. And so sad.
Oh, terrible.
One of the...
I knew it.
There are some tear-inducing moments throughout the show.
And I just went, boo.
I'm not even convinced that is his mom.
Who knows? Well, no, because genetic certainty, remember? The hair test thing? The PI ran a genetic test.
But could he be bought in as well?
Oh, fuck off.
I don't know. I'm spitballing.
Okay.
I mean, I know that's John Locke's dad.
Yeah.
I've seen the show. I don't remember if that's actually his mom.
Okay, I'll give you that.
And at this point, as a freshly blind viewer, because I could see before, but I'm newly blind to the show because I haven't watched it in a minute, and I'm in my state.
He's in a few
I
states.
Don't think.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm weary. Anyway.
That's fine. That's fine.
That's basically John Locke's backstory in the episode. What's going on the island?
Well, I wrote, hold on.
Well,
his dad at one point says, that makes me God.
Ew.
Isn't that a recurring thing? Did somebody else say that?
Yeah, I mean, no one's ever said that, besides that him.
Okay.
But there are themes of that. I can't express.
Very Jack's dad.
I can't give you an answer.
Okay.
I'm so sorry. I hate you. But no, it's a no. But I can't say why, and I'll tell you that much. That's a no.
Okay.
That's not really an attitude people have in this show.
Okay.
But that's
it. It was almost a cute episode.
Almost.
Yeah, and then the big twist at the end, and then I read, "Ooh, more bad parents."
No, because it's a flash. Yeah, bad. Everyone, no one has good parents in this entire show.
Let's talk about Island.
All right, the Island Times. Island Times. We have Locke and Boone looking at the mostly uncovered hatch.
Boone at some point says to Locke, "What? Why haven't you told me anything about you? We've been out here for forever. You've never said a damn thing about you. Blah 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 blah." And John Locke says, "Oh, my story would bore you." And I'm like, "Oh, sure. You're the male equivalent to Kate."
I would have said, "This is your episode, idiot.
Come on.
Give us more." But Boone wouldn't believe him. And I don't think Locke is in a position to say, "Well, before I got here and we crashed, I was handicapped and was
right.
kind of worthless working in a box factory."
Does.
Which Hurley owns the box factory.
Oh, shit. Okay.
They mentioned that. In Hurley's episode, he was like, "Well, you just took over this box company and this place," and that was where Locke works.
Alrighty.
It gets brought up later.
Yeah.
They're trying to build a trebuchet to crack open the hatch glass.
Yes.
That glass is too thick. That's airplane, like, spaceship glass.
Right? It's so thick. I knew it wasn't going to work.
It didn't work.
I had hope.
They try over and over again. John gets struck in the leg.
John has gross chicken legs.
Doesn't feel it.
No, he doesn't feel it, which is a sign something's wrong.
He's kind of going paralyzed slowly throughout the episode. And as secrets get revealed and actions happen, he kind of regains his legs. Almost like a new Supreme Rises kind of situation. We'll get there. We'll go there. We'll talk about it. He sticks and burns himself, but he can't feel it. And then Lost. Title card.
Big flashbacks even that.
Oh, other subplot. Sawyer needs glasses.
What a dumb plot line. Oh my God.
I really didn't love that.
I mean, it was cute getting
him for a good episode. This is a good episode, I agree.
It is.
Come on. So most of the other castaways on the island spend their time figuring out what's wrong with Sawyer and how do you talk to Sawyer and what can we do for him? And then they solder together two different sets of glasses to give him a set of glasses so he can read books now. Okay.
And be less of a little bitch.
Well, hopefully he'll be more grateful, but I doubt he'll be less of a bitch. That's just his nature.
That's true.
He is just kind of a bitch because he has good hair and he's toned and he has a tan. He had a tan before he got there. Fuck him.
Ugh.
Shannon's been working all day, every day to get a tan.
Nothing.
And she's still white alabaster. Our white swan. Okay, what else is going on? The dead body. So Locke and Boone. Fine. Locke has a premonition vision situation.
Yes.
Sees lots of things.
Lots and lots of things.
First thing is an airplane.
Airplane crashing. Then he sees Boone with blood.
Bloody Boone.
And he says, Teresa falls up the stairs. Teresa goes down.
Teresa falls up the stairs. Teresa falls down the stairs. Over and over and over again. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Spooky. Love that.
And Locke's in a wheelchair.
And oh, yeah. Locke's in a wheelchair. You're right. Just a vision. But we wake up, and Locke's trying to explain his vision to Boone while he sees the airplane. Or he, like, kind of sees it as he's explaining it to Boone and sees where it crashes. So they go to that site and investigate it.
Mm-hmm.
Locke convinces Boone to climb up into it.
Horrible idea.
Yes. Teresa falls up the stairs. Teresa falls down the stairs. The plane falls.
Yeah.
It gets off balance.
It's full of Mother Marys that have drugs.
Boone almost...
Don't tell Charlie.
Yes, exactly. Boone almost gets communication through radio, through the plane.
Something hurt.
But nothing, not enough.
And they said that there are no survivors of that flight.
Exactly. Oh my God. How scary would that be to hear? As a survivor?
Right.
To hear your... No, they all died. But I'm here. Daddy, I died. But they have. No one's dead. No one's dead yet besides the people that have been dead and buried.
60s.
And God. Creep. What were you talking about?
The plane!
Oh, the plane. So Boone climbs into it. Finds statues full of heroin. It crashes down to the ground. He's covered in blood. Now, John Locke's premonitions are coming true.
So he has to get him back.
He's special.
I know.
Like Walt.
Like Walt.
Who else do you think is special?
Shit. I don't know yet. I don't know.
Based on what you know?
Based on what I know?
Yeah.
Who's special?
Yeah. I think based on this three lump that we just did, these are all special people. Hurley's special. The numbers.
Oh, yeah.
That's special.
Yeah, that is
he
special.
He had prior information. Okay. In some kind of way. Kind of special.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Through happenstance, but not nature.
Right.
Yeah, but okay.
Walt, special.
Yeah.
Jen, not so much, maybe. I don't know. We'll find out. Well, so Boone is still alive, struggling. I would put money that he lives.
Oh, yeah.
And I would only do that to mention ad money. Because guess what, Greg?
Guess what?
We have ad stuff now.
Oh, my God.
We're sponsored. We're sponsored by this website that we're recording on called anchor.com.
That's amazing.
I had a great time recording it. That was fun. I wanted to bring that up as a joke. And here it is. There's the joke. You got the punchline.
You're welcome, everybody.
You're welcome in advance.
And
listen up, tits.
I had something else.
Oh. So, at the end of the episode, that's when we find out that the dad duped Locke.
Right.
And Locke is on island thinking about that and also very upset about Boone being hurt. Oh, he dropped Boone off and then ran.
Yeah.
Dropped him off to Jack and was like, fight. Went back to the hatch.
He's screaming at
him. We're getting flashes through his point of view of his dad abandoning him and doing him wrong as he's beating on the door of the hatch.
It's intense.
And then the light comes on.
And the episode ends.
Ugh! What do you think?
There's somebody down there.
Do you think there's someone down there?
Of course there is.
Do you think maybe it could have been like a motion sensor or... Who do you want to be down there? What would you want to be down there?
I don't know what best case scenario is.
Tell me...
Because if you're survivors on this island and there's a sophisticated... There's wires and there's an underground something
mm-hmm.
and there might be somebody there.
And the numbers.
And the numbers.
What do you think's down there?
Why are they leaving me out here? It's not good, whatever it is.
Leaving you out there?
Yeah.
What if they don't know you're there?
Why wouldn't they know?
Why would they? What's down there?
Ugh. They don't go outside. Clearly they do.
Ethan.
If they're part of the others.
Oh, you think that's connected? You think the hatch and the others are connected?
Yes, I'll give you that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get your blanket.
Yeah, no, I think they're connected.
You think the hatch and the others are connected?
Yeah.
And Ethan comes from... Did you watch The 100?
No.
Okay, never mind then. There's something like that. All right, well, that's it. Those are it. We have 15 seconds left. Do you have anything else left to say?
We'll be right back with what's lost on me.
Thank you so much. Okie dokie, hello. We are back. We have one segment left, everybody. We're going to do our very famous.
Oh.
Well-known and always done. We do it every episode, except for most episodes. Our little segment called What's Lost on Me? We are going to take 1 minute each to vent about something about the show so far that is just not making sense to us. Do you have any questions, Greg?
No.
Good. We've done this before. Would you like to go first?
I'll go first.
You go first. Your minute starts now. This is What's Lost on Me. This is Greg's minute. Go.
So, seriously, Claire couldn't tell that was a crib. Because, like, us as the audience, of course, camera angles and shit, we're not going to be able to tell that, you know, it's a surprise at the end, blah, blah, blah. What drugs is she on? Slash, like, am I right in all of my takedowns of Australians?
Oh, are they actually
as fucking brainless as I think they are? Because this woman doesn't know. Does she know what she's that joke where it's like,
seconds.
The back of your hand. Oh, I totally know what that looks like. Oh my god, how long has that been there? Or maybe she just has really bad ADHD and the island just made it worse.
Maybe she's never seen a crib.
Or maybe it's the trauma from her kidnapping, but something's not right with this woman. If she couldn't tell that this was actually trying to give her a beautiful gift until he flipped it the fuck over. That's what's lost on me.
And your time stops now. Great timing. Great job.
Yay.
I also agree. I was watching the episode last night, I remember seeing it even upside down, and I was like, that's obviously
that's a crib.
That's a crib. What else would you think? Why would you be involved, Claire, if it weren't about you at this point? Like, yeah, he's trying to include you because you've been kind of secluded since you've been kidnapped, I guess. Besides Charlie and Jack and Kate and other people. But, like, yeah, that is very clearly a fucking crib, you psychopath. And she's just super Australian. She's from the outback.
She doesn't know what she's looking at. Let's try to
kill her. Every road she grew up on was a red dirt road, Greg.
With four things.
We can't hold that against her.
Every day.
Everything. School. She was like, is that a scorpion? When he was building a crib. She's like, Jesus, I've seen that before.
That size, too.
A wood-skin scorpion with a rattle. With a mobile. Remember when the mobile for her kid's crib was airplanes?
Yeah.
The airplane? And she dipped her hands in it with blood?
Oh, that was so good.
So good.
Very Rosemary's Baby.
So good.
All those pregnant lady tropes. You ready?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I am. Okay.
Alright, so we're...
You got me? You got me for a minute? Yeah. Hold on.
Alright, so, you've got What's Lost on You.
Uh-huh.
Alright. And your time starts now.
What's lost on me at this moment is that Jin was given a beautiful puppy doggy. A pound puppy, if you will. It looked like one of those pound puppies from the 90s. And do we see it again? I don't know. Where'd that dog go? Did he give it to Sun? Did they take it? Did they adopt it? Did they foster it? I need to know more about this sweet baby dog that was taken from a sweet baby girl while she's just watching an American win the lottery for some reason. I don't know why that's international news. But okay, great. That's also lost on me. Why is Hurley winning the lottery national news?
International.
Anyway, international news. Thank you. What happened to that dog? Is it okay? Is anyone taking care of it? Who got it? I need to know more. Because all these people have been gone for a month now, and things will die.
That's time.
Thank you.
Where is that dog? I'll tell you one thing. That dog's dead.
You think so?
Oh, the dog who played that dog?
Yeah. Oh, the dog who played the dog? Absolutely.
All that.
And at this point, the character of the dog would be dead, too.
Most of the time when you watch something with a dog on it, you can go, that dog.
That dog's dead. That sucks. That's something we should fix about the world.
Dogs don't live long enough.
Dogs shouldn't be used as characters in movies and shows unless... I don't know. I don't even know how to answer that.
Well, you had nowhere.
No, I just... Yeah, you sometimes really they're like needed, dogs. But I hate when I find out a dog died or multiple dogs died for one movie, for one dog character.
Oh, yeah.
Stop that. If one dog dies, stop the movie. Not a good movie. Something died. Done. But if a dog is on a show or a movie series for a long time, that's okay.
Okay.
It might like it, and it makes money for that family, and the dog has a great life, probably, and...
So in that case, yay.
It dies of natural causes later. Yeah, it's dead by the time you maybe watched it, because it was an old dog. I don't know. I hate it.
Oh, you're not good with dog stuff, are you?
No. I have a hard time with kids and pets in movies and TV because I don't know what the right way to do that is. I don't know that there is a right way.
When my sister Rachel was pregnant, I walked in to the living room and found her on the couch with snacks about to put a movie on, and I saw that she selected Homeward Bound.
Oh, no.
And I looked at her, I said, you feel like crying tonight? And she said, yeah, I'm going to put this movie on, and I'm going to cry my eyes out.
My God. My God.
Oh, can you imagine all those hormones rushing through you and just that movie?
No. That when I have a I need to cry night, that is not what I think of. I don't think that movie makes me cry.
What do you put on?
Hereditary.
Okay.
I cry every time I watch that movie.
Oh, shit. That's dark.
It's not because it's, like, so scary. It is scary.
Yeah.
It is a terrifying movie to me. It makes me, like, lightheaded when I think about the situation and how you deal with it.
Sure.
But when I think about Toni Collette yelling at her son after the incident happens, I cry.
Wow.
It's a very heavy, very well done moment. She is acting her fucking ass off, and I've heard that speech from my mom. in different contexts, you know, obviously. My sister was never decapitated in a car. But, like, that is a good go-to of, like, I need a good cry. Okay. I need something that's so emotional. That and, the Buffy episode, The Body, where Buffy's mom dies of natural causes. Oh,
God.
And Anya, the former demon who is 1,000-plus years old, who doesn't understand why humans die, gives this gorgeous, sad monologue about how she doesn't understand why Buffy's mom just can't wake up and get back in her body and just go about her day, and now she'll never eat eggs or drink juice or brush her hair or anything, and it's just so stupid and mortal.
Why are you doing
and it's
this
so
right
stupid because I memorized all of it,
oh
Gregory. Because I memorized the entire thing for a grade in high school, and it's in my brain now. But that's such a beautiful moment, and I wish more death in media was dealt like that. Of I don't understand why.
Yeah, because no, that's very realistic.
It's so well done. I think, I just had a death in the family, and I absolutely will be watching the Buffy episode, The Body, where her mom dies, as a grieving method. I will absolutely watch that episode to help myself grieve, because someone has already written what I need to be told.
That's really beautiful.
So there it is.
Yeah. There it is, folks. That's why media is important. By the way,
media is important.
Yeah.
We need TV. We need movies. We need music. We need things to be distracted by, and we need people to interpret our feelings for us. Because we can't.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Sometimes you need somebody who's been there before.
Absolutely. Someone older or better or smarter. I don't know. Anyway, that's all I have to say for tonight. I'm kind of done talking. I'm tired.
You look it, honey.
I'm very tired. I've had such a long week.
Oh, Castaways. It actually is 11 p.m.
Which is my God. Castaways, we love you all so much. We can't wait to talk to you again soon. We might be taking a quick little break because by the time this gets posted, it will be Christmas week. The week of Christmas.
The week of Christmas, yeah.
So we're not going to post an episode then. We will post, to be honest, after the new year.
That's a good idea.
That's when we'll be back.
this is our mid-season break.
Right? This is our, mid-season break. I'm going to make a vow right now to scour through things I edited out that we could maybe post as bonus things. Maybe I can do a blooper reel or just something. I'll post something throughout the Christmas, New Year's situation, but we're not recording anything until after New Year's.
We should actually put aside every single 30 Rock reference.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I will try to do that.
And
that's a really good
every
idea.
Lola.
Oh my God. like Lola.
Okay. Be looking for that, I guess.
All right, well, let's wrap this bitch up. Let's do like our parents should have done and wrap it up, Greg.
Oh, damn. Isn't that the truth, though?
Oh, my God.
We didn't have time for that.
Just kidding. Let's make like my parents and split. We got to go.
Bye. See you next time.
Have a great night. Thank you so much for listening. We love you all. And we'll see you next time.